Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 4 of the Mission Control Podcast, presented to you by Apollo Media. I am your host at Apollo Des 1, Josh Desma. Thank you guys for tuning in. It's episode 4. It is day whatever of the quarantine, social distancing. I think every day is now Groundhog's Day. Nothing really to talk about sports-wise. We're still kind of up in the air as Corona's now in the United States and spreading throughout, and everything's coming to a screeching halt. Listen to everyone. Listen to the health officials. Like I said, stay at home. Stay at home, please, unless you have to go out for something necessary. And enjoy some time. Enjoy some time for yourself and your family. I know it's hectic and crazy, but please stay at home. That's the only way we can get back to a sense of normality. Today's episode, Mr. Ribbit Roughneck was live in the studio virtually, and we had a great conversation. Good hour and a half conversation of just us shooting the shit and having a good time. It was a great listen. I think you guys are gonna enjoy it. It was one of my favorite interviews I've done. some housekeeping stuff. Thank you guys for everyone tuning into our Apollo Media simulation of the Astros season. As of right now, the Astros are 5-4 and tied in first place in the West. Back-to-back losses, late inning losses the last two nights against the Angels, but it's been fun. We have a good little small community of anywhere between 40 to 60 million people tuning in every night, and that's really cool. And so hopefully that's going to continue to grow. By next time, next podcast, we will double that and be near the $100 million people range. Sorry. But tune in if you haven't. It's our Twitch channel, Apollo HOU. I'll be on there most of the time doing a small color commentary, not play-by-play, engaging with everyone in the chat. It's fun. Everyone's in there and everyone's family. But let's jump right into the interview. It's presented to you by Apollo Media, Mr. Robert Roughneck. Our next guest is Mr. Ribbit Roughneck himself. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for dropping in the studio, man.
Hey, my pleasure, dude. Thanks for having me. I looked at my busy ass schedule and I had a lot of stuff that I was supposed to do today, like come home and do nothing. And I was like, you know what? I'll squeeze in a little bit of time for this.
Exactly. This is episode 4 of the Mission Control Podcast, quarantine edition. we're stuck at home, but
CoronaCast, hey, dude.
CoronaCast. Yeah. Cheers to you. Appreciate all your hard work.
It's been slacking, dude. I haven't put an article out in like 2 weeks.
There's nothing to write about.
There's nothing to write about, dude. There's nothing to write about. I was on the old Twitter bot doing my Q&A thing, and someone was like, oh, yeah, I haven't pushed out an article in a while, dude. And I was like, yeah, man. What do? Write about my FIFA games, you know? This is what I do, my FIFA games. Should be writing about the fucking Roughnecks and Renegades post-game tonight.
Exactly. And with being the face of the franchise, number one fan in XFL history, how does it feel? I mean,
it feels heartbreaking. Like, you and I were talking before we started recording. I told you, like, in typical Houston fashion, we have the best player in the league and we're lighting the world on fire and the team's so exciting. And then, you know, and instead of getting hurt, like would be Houston as hell, or instead of just even getting the chance to find some way to lose it yourself, the coronavirus shut everything down. And now the most exciting player in Roughnecks history, obviously, and realistically one of the most exciting players I've seen in real life, is just gone now. Just gone. I'm wearing the MVPJ shirt, by the way.
Absolutely.
But as an XFL fan and as a Roughnecks fan, dude, it's awesome, and I encourage anyone who can to go see the product, because the bang for your buck is unlike anything you've ever felt before, or unlike anything you've ever experienced before. The game itself is unlike anything you've ever felt before. Like I was telling you, the vibe and the energy and the crowd, it's just, it's an awesome experience, man. And you just really don't get that at your regular season NFL or regular season NBA or MLB game. You get it like playoff games, and the Roughnecks home games, all the regular season games we went to were like playoff game energy. And it's awesome to know that it's going to come back and I get to experience that again. But it just fucking sucks, man.
Terrible. That's the best way to put it.
That's not even the league. And I don't know if we were going to go undefeated, but I know for sure we were going to win the title. So, 100%. Man, what are you going to do?
I think the biggest thing when I saw the XFL was coming, obviously it was before my time. I saw the 30 for 30s. I saw the highlights of, you know, the early YouTube days. But the very I was first like, one. Right, exactly. And I was like, is this going to be artificial or is it going to be organic? And I knew football's king in Texas. I mean, everyone, we had a Pee Wee show, you know, on Hulu about kids of 7 playing football. But I was like, I think the city's going to come around to this team. I didn't think it was going to happen the first game in the first few weeks, but it did. And I was like, this isn't artificial at all. It's organic. Now, I can't speak for the other cities in the XFL, but Houston's right behind the Roughnecks from the very jump. And
so
obviously it helps having
Right. Well, no, what you're saying is 100% true, because when me and my buddy Alex got the season tickets, we didn't have a name, we didn't have a coach, we didn't have players. Like, the only thing we were going on is that the Houston had an XFL team, and the XFL, like you said, from its first go around 15 years ago or whatever it was, it was awful football, and that's why that league crumbled. And they tried to sell it on like the wrestling style entertainment value of it. You know, they're going to do sideline interviews and they're going to have hard hits and all that stuff. But the football itself was awful. So we're going into this knowing what happened the last time. And again, we don't have any players or coaches or anything, but like you said, it just this, I love football, so I'm going to go. And then I tell a buddy about it, and he gets tickets because he loves football, and he's going to go. And then he tells him. Next thing you know, we have probably a group of 8 people who are season ticket holders before anything's happened. Like, again, it pains me to say it, but I had no idea who P.J. Walker was when he got assigned to us. So I was like, I don't know who that dude is. I don't really watch college football, so I had no idea who he was. So we have this team together we've never seen before. We've got 8 people who are season ticket holders now. They all brought 1 or 2 people. So we go into the gate with 24 people. By the time we leave game 1, 16 of those people we had come with, like 8 of them, got season tickets for the rest of the season. Then we went to game 2, and more of our people bought season tickets. And I read about the XFL, and this goes just more into what you're saying with organic growth, is that viewership was starting to go down, but the attendance was skyrocketing. And that's because, you know, you got someone in let's say Tulsa, Oklahoma, right? And they're watching a St. Louis Battlehawks, DC Defenders game. You got to be a really hardcore fan to watch an XFL football team with no affiliation to either of the teams, right?
Yeah.
So viewership, you can see why that would go down. But in the cities, the attendance was going up because the people who went to it told other people about it and brought other people. And every time someone went, they're like, dude, this is so awesome. Like, you never – and I hate to judge everything by Twitter, but, I mean, shit, especially nowadays where that's the only place
to get everything.
Right? Every time I go on Twitter after I left the game, I'd be looking at it, and at least 5 to 10 times a night, there would be someone who's like – man, I just went to my first Roughnecks game, and holy shit, that was awesome, and I had no idea, you know? And obviously, we were helped by having PJ, having a super exciting offense, scoring a whole shitload of points, coming from behind, the defense was rowdy, so it's easy to root for a good team, right? But there was other cities where their team was just okay, and they still had numbers, they still had people come, so it's... short story very long at this point. It's awesome being associated with it in any way outside of just being a fan. And I'm no fucking brand ambassador for them or anything, but I'll gladly promote that brand because it's a fun brand to get behind. And that's not just the Roughnecks. That's the XFL in general. If you love football, you'll love it.
Absolutely. And I think I was surprised, and with June Jones being the head coach, and I was like, June Jones from Hawaii and then SMU. I'm like, but I was like, he's still coaching, and he's out there, and his offense, I mean, his play sheet was like this big. It's a dynamic offense. It stands the test of time. And he did it before everyone's doing it now in the NFL. Like, I mean, honestly, the air raid has other, you know, avenues and the trees that have grown. But when June Jones has been doing it for decades, and right. now the other NFL teams are, you know, starting to do it, and he just took that and he's like, I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing. And here we are. And that's what the offense does. Puts up points fast. And you're going to have receivers that are going to be dynamic. And it was really cool to see.
So I'll tell you a story, and I promise you right now that this story is 100%. So, again, that dude, Alex, that I got the tickets with, when they start announcing, because everything had steps to it. And the first step was they announced the coaches. Then they announced the players for the league. Then every team was assigned a quarterback. And then they announced, I think, the team names and the colors and everything. Anyways, so before they'd done all that, me and my buddy Alex, he just jokingly, like, pulled a name out of thin air. And we were talking about who was going to be the coach. And he said, wouldn't it be funny if June Jones was the coach? And all we do is run and shoot and run and shoot. And first you run and then you shoot. And I said, oh, well, then we got to get Johnny Manziel in there for that. But he literally called June Jones being the coach. So when they announced June Jones was a coach, I was all in on June Jones as the coach. I was like, this is fantastic. I don't know anything about June Jones other than his team score a shitload of points, you know?
Yeah, so exactly.
I was like, no matter what, the games are at least going to be entertaining because we're going to score a shitload of points. Little did I know, you know, Jones and P.J. Walker were the match made in heaven, and it really was, man. That was 5 weeks of just some of the most fun and exciting football I've ever watched in my life.
And I didn't get to be a part of it because I'm the story of my life, always put stuff off. And I was like, I'll go to the next game. And then something came up. I was like, I'm going to go to the next game. I still have 3 left. And then Corona slapped you right in the face.
Right in the face, dude.
I'm just like, I missed out on the most exciting stuff. I mean, obviously, I got to watch. And I really loved ESPN and the XFL embracing gambling. Showing the odds, showing the over-unders. It's talking about it because usually you just have Al Michaels on Sunday night. It was like, well, that's going to be an interesting field goal there for some people. Like, you know, tiptoeing around it where people were like, oh, we're about to smash the over right here in the third quarter. So it was really cool to see that side of it.
They're showing the live odds. Not only that, they're showing live odds. But everything they did from standpoint. So I'm a Roughnecks fan, but I'm an XFL fan. Like I think I watched every single XFL game except for one, and that was only because I was on an airplane. And that's not Roughnecks, that's XFL games. And the things they did from the presentation standpoint to like when they go over there to a quarterback that just threw an interception and they stick a mic in his face and they're like, what happened, dude? It looks like you threw a pick. That kind of sucks, doesn't it? And they flash over to coaches and the players getting at it. And like you said, the gambling talk and during the games and just everything they integrated and how they presented that product. The fucking reviews. They show the entire review process. And that is going to be stolen by another league because whether it's the NFL or MLB or NBA – someone's eventually going to take that idea and be like, look, we have to do that, where we show the entire review process and how it's broken down. Just everything about their presentation is not even really revolutionary because a lot of people have been doing that before, but not really on that scale with you know, the sideline interviews and obviously with the replay, a little bit with the gambling. It's everything about it was awesome. It was fantastic. And I'm really excited to see what happens next year. It's almost like not even season two. It's just like the second coming of season one. Like we're just going to run season one back real quick.
Like the old Sopranos where it was just like 6 episodes of season 5 and then season 6 it was like part 2 of, you know. So
and this is like the pilot episode for XFL. Yeah, okay, here it is. okay, we're going to bring it back, and now here's the actual series.
And I did like Oliver Luck being the CEO and commissioner because he embraced it. He was all in. He wasn't just a figurehead and, you know, making million-dollar decisions in the background. He was at the forefront of all, which you don't really see. So it was really cool to see everyone in it.
They had this thing at TDECU. It was a tryout. And at the tryout, they were having season ticket holders come in. And Oliver Luck was there. June Jones was there. I think his name's Brian Cooper, the president, was there. And they were doing a Q&A. So first they did a presentation about the XFL. And, you know, that's where they introduced the rule changes. They said, this is how we see the game. And then they're talking to Oliver Luck. And he was saying, the biggest issue that we know we have to face is quality of play. Like, if it's not a good product and it's not good football, no one's going to want to watch it. And, like, right there, I knew, okay, they're taking a completely different approach to this, right? This isn't going to be entertainment-based. This is going to be football-based. And he just kind of went through and explained everything that he knew was going to be in place to make the league work and what they were trying to accomplish. Then they get to June, and June's doing a Q&A, and someone asked June, like, what do you think is the most important thing the XFL has right now going in its favor to sustain long-term success? And June said, money. The XFL has great TV deals. We're on national TV 80% of our games because it's obviously springtime, you know, so there's no NFL, there's no baseball, there's just random NBA games in there. We've got that deal locked in for 2 years. So we know that, like everything Oliver said, if we have that quality of play and we have the engaging football that people actually want to watch, not just like sloppy trash, we think we've got a shot at it. And again, everything you heard every week was just five times more of what everyone said the week before, which is, this is awesome. Yeah. And the XFL spread like coronavirus, dude. And
absolutely.
It touched, got infected. And then it was gone.
It was the perfect instance of not rushing to market first, but perfecting your product. Because what was it? The AAF rushed their product to get there first to be.
And they had no money.
And they had zero money. And they just
fell out of business.
And the product sucked. The product on the field. And so XFL took their time. Hey, we're not gonna rush this. We're gonna get to market when we want to get to market, and we're gonna let it do what it does. And I was thoroughly pleased. I did not think it was gonna do what it did, but
and to get back to your original question, Oliver Luck had a lot to do with that, and he obviously was proving it now that he was the best pick for the job. So you know, I think that with anything, good leadership is going to get you places, and right now they've got great leadership.
Yeah, and I'm a big Texas Longhorn fan, so before Charlie Strong got there, they hired Steve Patterson, but it was the final between Steve Patterson and Oliver Luck, and I was like, it's Luck, 100%. That's the guy, and they went the other way, and I was like, what are we doing here? And so to see him, I mean, and it was probably best for him not to get that job because it's.
Then he went and ran the whole NCAA. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's multiplied, you know, 10 times over for him. But yeah, it's. Well, sucks that.
It is, as a UT person, you're probably a UT football fan.
I am.
So is this about when you would start like ramping up for UT football? Like, is this where you're watching recruiting and you're getting ready for games?
Yeah, so I'm on the boards. I'm on Inside Texas and Orange Bloods. Inside Texas is kind of the one I patrol the most, just because it's kind of guys that are not they're grinders. They put out a great product, and no one really gives them the due. So I love the guys themselves. Okay. They're all Houston based, and so I'm following recruiting through them, looking at stuff. But I mean, all that came to a screeching halt. So it's unique because we're season ticket holders for football and baseball. So yeah. We'd be going to baseball games right now. So the spring sports are all done. I mean, they canceled those quickly. I mean, I think College World Series was canceled before anything else. And I was like, man, as a senior and I got to play college baseball, I was like, a random Tuesday night game was my last game. And I had no idea that was my last college baseball game. NCAA did something right, and they gave everyone, you know, an extra year, which I didn't think they were going to do, because NCAA has never looked out for the college athlete. They look out for themselves. And so I'm like, okay, now let's go into recruiting. You're a senior in high school or junior in spring sports. My high school season's over. Now there's, you know, what's going on there? Am I going to get signed?
What do I do? Yeah. And then, so, like, you go back and, like, do your senior year again? Like, I don't know, you know?
You're a fifth-year high school senior? I don't know. And then on the other side, the flip side, the spring side, the football side, you're in spring practices right now. You should be rolling. You have a spring game, you know, going into summer. And that all stops. So I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, Texas is finally going to have a good year. They have a senior quarterback. They have, you know, upperclassmen. And then I'm like, well, shit, now they're not even practicing. Now they're not in practice.
Just gone. Dude, I think about this with baseball. They've talked about, you know, Major League Baseball would have a plan in place to abbreviate the season. That would involve playing more doubleheaders. But these guys have been out of spring training now for 2 weeks, right?
You're going to have another spring training.
You're going to have another spring training. They can't go back. And this one really sucks because I love basketball. I love basketball. And there's no way basketball can finish the season now, you know? Because like you said, like with baseball, you'd have to have a new spring training. Basketball would basically have to have a new training camp. And then what? You're going to go to training camp for a month and play the playoffs, you know? You just got to call it what it is. It's over, you know? So
yeah, basketball, I think it's over.
Baseball, I think it stands a chance, but it would – like, they'd have to play a minimum 100 games, so they would have to get at least 3 months out of it. So let's see. If they wanted to end it even, like, late November, October, September, we might be – we'll probably get baseball and football, but abbreviated both.
I think
what a shitty conversation to have.
I know. And it's like – and also, it's a Russian – it's a Russian roulette game because you don't want to be the first to be back in the sport.
Word. See, because that's the first thing I think about. Me and –
what happens if you get people sick again? Like, all of a sudden, hey, we have a game, and then 2 weeks later, we have another small outbreak. And then everything's shut down again.
See, that's – and this is why I get so fucking annoyed when I see the people who just don't give a shit, right? Like, you can – you got to go to the store, man, you know, and you got to go to Walgreens, and you have to go, and I get that. But you don't have to go to, like, Hobby Lobby, you know? You don't have to go to the bike barn or here or there, you know? Like, it really should be essential places. And then you look up and you see these fucking idiots in Florida on the beach. Oh. And you see these fucking idiots flying back from fucking Austin to
Puerto Rico.
44
people got tested positive.
To get back to what you were saying, it goes down and then you are the first person out there and it comes up again. And that's what they're saying. They're like, look, if all you motherfuckers could stay in your house away from each other for 2 weeks. We're not trying to flatten the curve. We're trying to get to the bottom, you know, where it's safe to come out of your homes again.
Exactly. Right?
But if you keep not fucking listening to us, we still have to go up. We're still going up. Then we have to get to the top. Then we're going to be plateaued at the top for a little. We're going to start to come back down again, but we got to come all the way the fuck back down before everything's cool.
Exactly.
So if I didn't want to freak out about that. I'm sorry, dude. But
no, it's fine because it's all of a sudden everyone that has to stay at home doesn't want to stay at home. 2 months ago, you were sitting on your couch watching 16 hours of Netflix. Now that you're forced to stay home, you want to go out and do errands. You want to go run, do all this stuff. I'm like, you were doing this 2 months ago. Like, just do what you were doing. Like, why? Like, all of a sudden now you want to, like, run marathons and shop
like that, you know. Like, my basketball court over by my house has been empty for the 14 months I've lived here, outside of the last 2 weeks where everyone and their mom's out playing basketball now. And I'm like, dude, why didn't you wait till the middle of a global fucking pandemic to decide you wanted to fucking pursue your hoop dreams, you know? Like, come on, people. And this is what the only thing in my life that I've seen, and it has a direct effect on everyone, you know, not just the people who get sick, not just the, you know, the healthcare workers that got to deal with them, but every fucking sports fan. You know, we don't have sports anymore, right? It's all gone. Every movie aficionado, there's people who love movies and they just want to go sit in the theater and have their popcorn. And like, yeah, it's cool to do that at your house sometimes, but it's not like going to a movie theater. You know, your fucking bartenders, your waitresses, every single person has been affected by this in some way. And even worse is because it happened in 2020, it's all politicized, just like everything else is. So now not only do we not have sports, we've got fucking twice as much politics. And it's like, oh, it's just driving me mad, dude. Well, that's why I'm like, look, if the people say stay inside and it'll go away, just stay inside. Because this shit has got to go away, dude.
Fucking, I mean, hell. Right now, I'm going to say we're half-assed social distancing. Like,
yeah.
What's the point of social distancing if 50% of the people are not doing it?
We're not even going to do it.
We're in the same spot a month from now because we're just turning our wheels in mud. Right. And to put my tinfoil hat on, my buddy, he's a contractor, and he texts me in early January, and he's in Beijing.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but something's going on. He's like, everywhere we go, we get stopped. We get our you know, we're checked to see if we have a fever.
Temperature check, yeah.
Everywhere, there's all these stops. And I'm like, okay. So the great thing about all these message boards, sports message boards, there's sports are going on, but you have all these, you know, subreddits basically through them. And I'm like, oh, coronavirus. Okay. So I get on there and I'm like, hey, I'm in Hong Kong. Hey, I work overseas over in Thailand. Like all these different people are like, all have the same story. And to see it start trickling out through January and early February, I'm like,
right.
Oh shit, we're about
what
to get
the fuck hit. Is what? Happening? Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what's going to hit us, but something's happening and we're not prepared for it. And no, then it goes into Europe and then it goes into here and then everyone's still out and about. And I'm just like, what is going on? Why? And I look like a crazy person because I went to HEB, you know, a month and a half ago, restocked our entire freezer, had, you know, bleach, had all this stuff. And my fiance was like, you look like a crazy prepper. I'm like, I don't know what's going to go on, but, right. You know, we're going to have stuff. And if not, we have stuff for hurricane season. Worst comes to worst, we're going to use.
No matter what, you're fucking prepared, right?
Exactly. And then we went to AGB like 3 weeks ago, which we probably shouldn't have because I was like, what's the point of going out? And she was like, oh, wow, look, there's, you know, you can only get two of this and three of this. And she's like, hey, this is your entire list. I'm like, exactly. Yeah. It was my entire list. But, you know, it's.
And like you said, fools are still bumping into each other and they're still reaching over each other and they're still right over each other in line. You know, I'm like, man, you just really don't give a fuck, do you? You know?
I didn't even know we were at 200,000 cases yesterday.
No.
And I was just like, this is crazy. We're never going to see sports ever again.
Shit sucks, dude. But
I do want to say one thing. I saw your movie take, and I'm going to segue a bit. You didn't like Parasite, or did you not think it was as good as the other movies?
So me and the fiance, we every year whenever they announce the best pictures list, we go to the movies, if not every week, then at least three times a month. Because on Tuesday, they have $5 Tuesdays. Right. So just go in there and pick a movie. You know, just watch any movie. And sometimes there's stuff that we really want to see. Sometimes we just pick some random movie and watch it. So we always watch the best picture movies. So this year, we saw Joker in theaters. We saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in theaters. I watched Irishman as soon as it came out on Netflix. And the whole time, I just keep hearing all this Parasite hype. And I was like, oh, hell yeah, dude. Like, if it's better than these movies, well, these movies kick ass. And to me, and, you know, maybe I'm like a film casual, you know? I just don't get it as much as other people. Parasite was okay, you know? It was all right. I appreciate the story they were trying to tell. Like, I'm not saying it was bad, but it wasn't worthy of the hype, you know? Like,
okay.
There's this is one of the good things about Corona is giving me time to watch plenty of fucking movies. So I got around to watching 1917 last night, which we were going to see in theaters, and we just never got around to it. And 1917 was fucking awesome.
It was very good.
I see why it got all the Oscar hype, because the one tracking style just adds so much like intensity and like suspense to it, because you're just, it almost Like it's supposed to. It feels like you're walking there right next to him, taking the trip with him. So I thought 1917 was great. And I, Parasite, it was okay. You know, it was okay. It was a good movie. Wasn't a top, I don't know, 50 movie I've ever seen.
So who do you think should have won Best Picture?
I haven't seen them all yet, but of the ones I've seen so far, and they always do it with war movies, but I think this was such a different war movie. I'd say 1917 was first, which might sound like recency biased. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood would be two. Marriage Story was three. Joker four. And then Parasite. It's in dead last for now, but it could keep going down if I watch more of the movies. Jojo Rabbit's next, and I heard that's
really I haven't seen that. It was I heard good things about it. So people have therapeutic things they do. Some people run 20 miles. Some people go get a massage. Some people do things. What I do, I go see a movie by myself.
Yeah.
I will go to an afternoon matinee, get me a popcorn, some bunch of crumbs, and just watch a movie.
Right.
I did that for 1917, and I was hooked. It wasn't therapeutic at all because I was just on the edge of my
seat. Dude, it's a trip. You're right in there.
I had no idea who the main actor was. I thought it was the kid from Game of Thrones. He was the main actor.
That was Tommen. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that happened. I don't know spoilers, but then that happened. I was like, oh, shit. I was wrong the entire time.
And you're in it. Yeah, you're in it. And then
the one track method was, I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to get motion sickness because you're in the trenches.
You're literally there. Yeah.
And it was really great. I'd probably have that too. I really enjoyed Parasite. But I saw Parasite before
the Hollywood.
Before the hype, and I was like, holy shit, this movie.
And there's something to be said about that, because when movies, especially when they get a lot of hype, I don't go into it like skeptically, but I go into it with a like, man, you've got a really big fucking bar you've got to get across, you know. Whereas there was a movie, Alita Battle Angel, me and the fiance, it was one of the weeks we didn't have a movie, and Alita Battle Angel is like a half real life cartoon mixed with, you know, real life. It's like a cartoon mixed with real life. Sorry. And it was just a throwaway. We're like, hey, you know what? We'll go see that. And it was a badass movie. And I had no expectation going into it. I was like, hey, you know what? That's a pretty kick-ass movie. So there's probably something to be said about the hype for it, you know, yeah, just going into it. Like, it was really going to have to blow me away. And maybe that's part of why I say it was just okay. It was because it didn't live up to the hype.
Yeah, and to touch the other movies, I liked Irishman. I went into the mindset of knowing it was going to be kind of a Jimmy Hoffa biopic almost type movie. Not because everyone was like, "Oh, it's going to be like Goodfellas. You had the Goodfellas crew back." I was like, not really." I think it's going to be more just the story of it all. Because, and I had talked to my dad and my grandfather. I was like, "Was Jimmy Hoffa this fucking powerful? Really ravaged the country like that?" And they're like, "Yeah, I mean, you went and had a drunk driving accident, maybe even killed someone. You didn't lose your job. The union was behind you." Yeah. And I was like, I couldn't grasp that. And then to see the story, that's what engaged me. Where I talked to some people, they're like, "Oh, it wasn't like a mobster movie. It wasn't that." I was like, no, that's not what the angle was. I mean, it was, you know, Scorsese and all these guys. And I was like, if you look at it at this lens, I think it's a lot better movie. And other than the ridiculous De Niro fight scene when he brought that guy out, he didn't even kick the guy.
Right.
And I think the movie would have been better if they had a younger actor playing De Niro, like a future star,
instead of doing that, the digital aging of young De Niro.
Yeah, that's what really set me back a bit. But I enjoyed it.
There's something to be said about an attention span, you know? So, like, I had to watch it in two parts, and I used to just cruise through 3-hour movies, but it's a 3-hour movie, and I watched it in two sets because I was like, man, this, I just can't commit 3 hours of my day to it. I got to go sit somewhere else and do something else that's not valuable, you know?
Exactly. I thought Pesci was great. I thought Pesci
was fantastic. I said Pesci should have won Best Supporting Actor.
100%.
I thought them giving it to Brad Pitt was just a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah. And to touch on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I liked it, but I don't know if this is a hot comment to say, but I don't think it's top 5 in Quentin Tarantino's movies he's made. Even though I thoroughly enjoyed Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, oh no, that one was fantastic. And I love anything Tarantino. But again, that's another one with a long runtime, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
and look, to bring it all back to the big fucking elephant in the room, that's another thing that's fucking gone. Like, no new movies are coming out. Yeah. So yeah, we've got Netflix and Hulu, and like, we are nowhere near a fucking shortage of movies. But there's nothing new coming. And you know, people like us that like going to the movies. Now, not only can we not go there, but the stuff that we wanted to see, it's all getting dragged back. It's all getting pushed back because they got to release it in theaters and sell tickets to it before they do all the fucking digital downloads and streams and shit. It's like, fuck, now I can't do that either, you know?
It's crazy. It's freaking crazy times, man. I just don't, I mean, I'm just running back everything on Netflix. Ozarks did come out, but I'm not a huge fan.
You know, I didn't get into Ozarks either. Like, I watched the first season, and I got probably three or four into the second season, and it's right up my alley with shit that I like, you know, gangs and drugs.
It wants to be Narcos. It wants to be Narcos.
Yeah, it's got like a, yeah, like a B-list, Narcos, B-list, Breaking Bad feel. And like, the main actor, Bateman, he's good, and he plays his role good, but he's also the same character in everything he does, you know? Well,
I feel like this is the first time he's not like that funny, quirky, sarcastic guy. Like, he has to be somewhat serious.
But he's still got the, you know, like the dry presentation and, you know, same voice. He's, I don't know. I never got super into Ozarks. Yeah. We've been, we're actually finishing Narcos Mexico, which has been fantastic.
So to give you some background, my grandfather, he did 20 year, he was in Nam, two tours, came back, did 20 years HPD, and 15 of those was narcotics. And then he helped create HIDA, High Intensity Drug Trafficking Agency. He was part of that original group.
Okay. And
so the late 80s and early 90s, this is before, I mean, I was born in 92. He was out there running stuff. So this is the height of Pablo. This is the height of everything. And he tells me stories now, and I'm trying to tell him, hey, just do this. Just talk to yourself and tell all your stories, because his stories, he'll just tell random stories. Like, he was like, yeah, I was in Aruba. We were tracking two guys that flew out of Colombia. We tracked their plane from Aruba to the Netherlands. We sat on them for 2 weeks. And then from there, we cut the snake, you know, cut the head off the snake in the United States and Europe. And we cut off the traffic in Aruba. I was like, wait.
What?
You just, it's over like five chapters of a book right there. You just can't end with that. And he just tells me all these stories. And I was like, hey, and we finally got them Netflix for Christmas. And they were against it. They were against this Fire Stick. He calls me up every day. Hey, I'm on season 6 of, you know, this show. I love it. Thank you. Blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, hey, watch Narcos. And he started watching it. He's like, nah, this isn't it. I'm like, what do you mean? I was like, multiply what you're seeing by 1,000. I'm like, are you serious? He goes, yeah. And I'm like, wow. So he knew the guy, the D agent that died, that
Camarena?
And yeah, he knew Camarena. And so knew Kiki and all this stuff. And I was just like, he tells us all these stories. I'm like, holy shit. I was like, are you a Netflix writer? Like, what is going on? And he's just, multiply what you're watching by 1,000. That was real life. I was like, oh, shit.
So my fiance's Mexican. She was born in Querétaro, and she lived there her whole life. And then I've got a coworker. He actually works out of Monterrey, where he was born and raised in Monterrey. He worked in Charlotte for a little while, and now he's back in Monterrey. And I introduced both of them to the Narcos Mexico. And I asked him, I'm like, kind of like what you said. I'm like, how real is this? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's all spot on. Yeah, that's exactly how the shit went down. Like, you know, obviously there's dramatization because it is a show. But they're saying, like, the names and, like, how things went. And, you know, the government side, the corruption side and all that. And how high up that went. They're like, oh, yeah, everyone knew that was happening. And it's, man, we should just sold drugs, Josh.
Dude. Conglomerate. Apollo Cartel.
One of the guys who got arrested, when he got arrested in government, that he would pay the entire country's debt, like the debt for the entire country of Mexico, if they let him go. And it's like, how much fucking money did you have, dude?
To wipe out a GDP debt.
Right? They can pay off a country's debt and still live ridiculously rich. Just, man.
The story's like, you had Pablo Escobar's prison, who was pretty much a fortress.
Yeah.
And he built his own prison. Personal army. And then
his own prison.
2 weeks ago, 3 months ago, was it, what's his name? Chapo's son got arrested, and then he ended up making like 5 calls out before he got arrested. All these cartels came around, and the government was like, "Yeah, you're gone. Yeah, you're free."
It's ridiculous flex, dude. You go back to Pablo. Like, this fool is making hundreds of millions of untaxed dollars, getting competition murked left and right. They arrest him, and he's like, "All right, well, if I'm under arrest, I'm going to build myself a compound. That's going to be my jail. I'm going to give y'all some money to fuck off, and I'm literally just going to keep doing what I'm doing." And I'm like, okay, sounds good. I'm like, wow.
That even is
the most gangster shit I've ever heard, dude.
Even ESPN had that, the 30 for 30 of the Tell 2 Escobars. He flew the team out. He flew the Colombian team out there just to just play some soccer at his prison when he was locked up. I was like, what is going on?
The 70s got to deal with cool crises, dude. Like, Vietnam sucked. I probably wouldn't want anything to do with Vietnam. But you get into the 70s, now you're dealing with, like, cocaine and, I don't know, maybe, like, a sex crisis. But, like, they could go out of their house, you know?
Yeah.
The crisis we have to deal with in 2020, this fucking sucks, dude. Like, we all got grounded, you know? Yeah. Like, Everyone stay in your fucking room, all right? I'm like, no, give me the cocaine crisis. That's the one I want. It's give me crazy. That one. I can deal with that one.
And like, what was it? What was that documentary? What, Cocaine Cowboys? Like, watching that shit, you're just like, what is going on? And then I grew up, so Scarface is my favorite movie of all time. All my cousins are older than me, and so I'm the oldest sibling, so I looked at them as my older siblings. Right. And I was like 7-8 years old when I saw Scarface for the first time in my life. And I was like,
that's a movie to watch when you're 8, dude.
I was like, holy shit.
What?
A Latino man can date a white woman?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, so the rest of my life, I only dated white women because I was like, Al Pacino had, what's her name in the Emerald Dress? I was like, I don't know, dude.
Michelle, give you the confidence to shoot at the white women, dude. I love that.
And I told my fiance, I was like, you should thank Michelle Pfeiffer every day because we're not together. I'm just at 8 years old. Right? Doesn't think it's possible. That's and so, fantastic. Like, I mean, Scarface is my favorite movie, but it's crazy. I don't even know, like, what's gonna happen. I can't wait to see what history writes about this time.
We're literally living through a fucking moment that people are gonna read about in history for 100 years. If you know, we make it, of course. But, you know, like, yeah, this is, and I don't mean to compare it to this as like an apples to apples comparison because they're so fucking different. But like, this is our World War I. This is our World War II. This is our Vietnam. Like, this is the moment where everything in the world has changed for a little while, you know? And no, we're not getting drafted, thank God. And we don't have to go off and fight in a fucking war, thank God. But, you know, the doctors right now are the soldiers. Like, those people are out there putting themselves in imminent physical danger that could cost their lives to try and take care of this. Because if we can take care of this, we can protect so many others in the nation. And because of that, the general populace has to do things that you would only do in wartime, dude, you know? And it's just wild to think about that, yeah, in 100 years, or not even 100, 10 years from now, I'll be 42. So let's say 10 years from now, I have a kid, and my kid is like 4, and they're showing the 10-year anniversary of the fucking coronavirus on Channel 13, and like, Channel 13 looks back at all that happened during the coronavirus crisis. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I fucking remember that. Like, you're lucky you didn't have to live through that. You know, like, that's what my fucking granddad told me about Nam, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Or, World War II. And that's what my dad's uncle would tell me about Nam. And it's like, Just fucking thank your lucky stars every day you didn't have to live through that. And again, it's not an apple to apples comparison. Like, I'm not getting shot, right? And I don't have to worry about a bomb blowing up over my village. But motherfuckers are dying left and right, you know? And I think they're, again, the doctors and the nurses who, the fucking, and I don't want to sound misogynistic. I mean this as a compliment. The balls on these people to go do that, because I'm not fucking doing that shit, you know? You're going to go into an area, and we need you to expose yourself for 16 to 18 hours a day, 5 to 6 days a week, to an area full of people who are confirmed to have this ridiculously contagious virus that you've got a really good shot of just being fine, but you've also got an outside shot of, like, dying. You know?
Yeah.
So we need you to go in there and just go take care of this for we're not really sure how long.
And you can't go home to your family.
Oh, by
because
the way,
you may have it. By the way, you're stuck where you are.
Probably have it. Because you probably fucking have it. Not because you may. You probably do. And so I'm just saying, man, like, again, everyone's saying it everywhere you look, but, like, thank you to all those fucking people. Absolutely. Because I don't know how you get up in the morning and answer that call to work. That is fucking terrifying. But they do. They all go out there and they fucking do it. And they've done it with probably not the adequate amount of support, and they've done it with definitely not the adequate amount of timing. So it's not our war, but it's our historic moment that's going to be remembered like that. Like, this is like 9/11, you know, all over again. And it fucking sucks, dude. I'm tired of living through shit like this, you know? Like, can't we all just chill and not get infected with super viruses and watch the Roughnecks and watch baseball and, you know, fuck.
But I was playing, you know, we've geared up, we pivoted with the Palmia, and we're going all in on Twitch because it's all we can do is stay in our home and play video games.
Right.
And I was with one of our guys, Jared, and he's a sophomore in college. So we're sitting there, we're exchanging jokes. He's calling me a boomer. I'm calling him a Gen Z. And I was like, Jared,
dude, man.
I was like, wait, you learned about 9/11 in a textbook. I was like, he was like, yeah. And I was in third grade when it happened. I remember it. I'll remember that entire day for the rest of my life. My dad's a police officer. I didn't see my dad for 2 weeks. And I mean, it sticks with me for forever. And I remember that day and all the details and everything. And I was like, you had to learn that through a book? And I couldn't grasp that fact. And now I'm thinking through it. We're talking through it. I was like, holy shit, I'm going to have to explain to my kids the coronavirus, like everything that happened through this whatever time period.
You go back and you remember the immediate after effects of 9/11, and planes were grounded, and sports and shit were suspended, but it was for like 4 days. 4 days. They were just like, hey, man, let's just everyone make sure everything's cool. And then it was just right back to normal. Like, we are.
It was like almost like, okay, I'm good. Everybody,
yeah.
We're good? Okay.
We're good. Exactly. Okay. Everything's fine. Okay. Whew. Okay. Now let's go get them, you know?
Yeah.
But now this, we're wrapping up week three, you know, and there hasn't been any sports, and there hasn't been, you know, fucking bars or restaurants, and they're still running planes, but I'm not getting on a plane anytime soon, you know, because it's a global pandemic. So anywhere you go, you're running the chance of running into someone who's got it, right? So
exactly.
So I said, stay the fuck at home. So,
and it's not like you're a zombie. You don't know from Adam to Joe who has it.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Adam's up there as a zombie. You're like, oh, shit, he's got corona. Let me stay away.
Yeah, he's got, like, the coronavirus, like, label on him, like, tested positive. Yeah, so it's, like you said, this is something kids are going to read about in history books. I'm like, dude, I don't want to live through history, dude. This shit sucks. Being a part of history sucks ass, dude.
I told Josh, I was like, we're the lovable group of idiots that started a company in the middle of a global pandemic, a economy that's crashing, halt, you know, to a halt. And if we come out of this, you know, the same thing, like,
let's start a business.
we're good. We're golden.
Right.
But it's honestly about, you know, everyone that tunes into our stuff, and we're not here without them. So a big shout out to those people and everyone tuning in every single day, because they aren't a Apollo Media.
We're going to provide the good that Houston needs. All right. Because everyone needs some good right now, and we've got to find a way to be entertained and not just go crazy. I mean, look at what's happened. We had the Astros lose the World Series. The Astros get involved in this cheating scandal that no one shut the fuck up about for about 90 days. Basketball starts, and the Rockets were a little sketchy there, and then they went all in on the small ball, and now it's like, hey, you know, the Rockets are looking like something. We get the Roughnecks, and obviously they're fucking killing things. And then, bam, coronavirus. It's like, right when we get to, we can have something nice again, in typical Houston fashion, it's all fucking gone. So you know what, Des, it's on us to give the people something nice. We got to give them these.
Afterwards, I mean, I've been talking with a bunch of small businesses because – I want them to survive because they deserve to survive. They've been doing all these years of all this hard work, and to have this come about, like I said before we talked, my fiance is a teacher, and she's, you know, all the teachers are scrambling to figure out how to teach the kids online, but no one has an emergency break glass coronavirus plan.
Right.
All these companies don't. So I want to support local.
Made up as they go.
Yeah. I want to support local. No one has a plan.
We need to plan for if the entire world economy comes to a halt because we're not allowed to walk out of our houses. And it's like, well, why do we need to plan for that? If we plan for that, well, what's the fucking plan? You know,
exactly.
There is no plan.
And it's key to me. And I'm trying to think longer term within the shorter term. I was like, what can we do for these companies to get their name and to sustain life? Because we have a good following. Like, it's been a month and a half. We have a good following. It's continuing to grow every single day. And I was like, everyone's going through the same hardship. Everyone is stuck at home. Everyone is, hey, do I have a job? Do I not have a job? What meal are we going to do? But, okay, so we get through it. What can we do for these companies that are sticking through it and providing the food, providing these drinks, providing whatever they're doing? Because they're going out on a limb, they're probably they're stressed out, and what can we do to help them? And that's my main goal. I don't care about anything else, but let's make sure that local businesses prosper through this at the very end.
Whatever,
and so,
you know, exactly, we've been trying to do whatever we can. We've got a couple of our favorite restaurants that, you know, we eat at home more than anything else. But like you said, because we're going through this, like, okay, I want to make sure that these people are still there, because even though I don't eat there a lot, I eat there. And I want them to stay around so I can eat there whenever the time arises. So, yeah, let me go down there and get a meal so that I can make sure they got bills to pay their fucking staff, you know? It sucks, dude. But time, like anything, is cyclical. It goes up, it goes down, it goes round and round. And right now, we're in a down, and it sucks, but we're going to get through it. And when we get through it, it's going to be probably equivalent to like a global Mardi Gras in New Orleans, where the entire world is just going to go apeshit for about a week, you know, and it's going to be the most fucking rowdy week you've ever had. They're going to have all the games, and all the movies are going to come out at once, and everyone's just going to go out and party, and then we'll just be back to normal.
I think
get back there, everyone. Stay the fuck inside.
Home. Stay inside.
Stay fuck inside.
You have a month to stay at home. Just do it, please.
All you people ever do is bitch about going out anyways, and all you see on Twitter is can't wait to cancel my plans, and people sharing memes.
Is it Friday yet?
Yeah, right. You know, like, I love sleep. I love not leaving my house. And everyone's like, all right, hey, can y'all not leave your house? And you're like, fuck you, I'm getting out of here.
My life. Is it 5 o'clock somewhere? No.
It's 5 o'clock at your house. It's 5 o'clock at your house. Go the fuck there.
And hey, we live in this day and age where we have this phone that has more computing data than would they went to the moon for the first time. Just order Just order it. They'll drop it off right at your door.
Right. They're going to bring it to you. You know, gonna... live in the world of convenience we have, you know. And remember, it sucks for everyone. You're not the only person who's really pissed off that they can't leave their house. Like, we are really pissed off we can't leave our house. Because we can't leave our house, we can't go to baseball games. And we can't go to XFL games. We can't go to fucking basketball games or the bar or our favorite restaurant. Like, we're all in it together, man. But we're staying at home, you know? So let's
I saw a meme. I saw Always Sunny meme. I got to pull it up. It was did you watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I've seen Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Okay. I can't say anything because Colin gets mad at me for my Always Sunny in Philadelphia take.
Colin will be, he will appreciate this. I gotta send it to him as well. Let me see where it is.
Spaceman is yelling at me for saying that while Sunny is good and it's funny, every episode is the same. And that's true, by the way.
That's fair. That is fair. Where can I find it? I'm going to have to pull it. I think I sent it to my mom, who never seen the show in her life, and she laughed. But it was like Florida just announced, hey, the stay-at-home order, and it was the meme. It was like, hey, newsflash, asshole, we've been doing this for 3 fucking weeks.
Right.
Florida was like, hey, we're staying at a stay-at-home order. And like,
look,
it's the entire nation.
We need to bring this to a positive, I think, before we wrap it up. And yeah. 2020 has kind of sucked. And a lot of people are kind of in agreement. 2020 has given us 3 months of really strong meme material. And the memes have been good. So we have World War III memes already. We now have the coronavirus memes. We just got Tiger King memes. We've got the Joe Exotic Carol Baskins meme.
Can we touch on that?
Let's touch on it, Dan.
Because I was about 10 days late from everyone else watching it, and I was like, okay, I'll give it a chance. Saw 4 short episodes to 2 a.m. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Every episode, it was like compound interest. You know, you read about all these old school economics, compound interest, you know, penny a day, a penny a day, a penny a day. It was about a minute of each compound interest of Tiger King. You got the episode forward, you're like, what is going on?
What the hell is going on here?
And you had Joe Exotic, you had fucking Carol Baskins over there, and you had all these different characters, and I was just like, this is the greatest train wreck I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's Florida Man, even though Carol Baskins was a woman, it's the Florida Man meme turned into a 7-hour documentary. Tiger King is. And see, like, stuff like that. It remember, there's those releases out there. You can find a way to release and enjoy stuff. And at least it gives us the memes, you know. While 2020 has sucked, 2020 has been kick-ass for fucking memes.
I would put every penny I have that Carol Baskins killed her husband.
Oh, that's because she did kill her husband. That's 100%. I mean,
and the
have greatest... you ever seen The Jinx?
The what?
The Jinx. Oh,
with Robert
on Durst. HBO with Amazing. Robert Durst.
Amazing. Yes.
Yeah. So it's been long enough now where I'm going to go ahead and say this isn't a spoiler, but the Carol Baskins thing is the exact same thing as a Robert Durst thing, where every time they talked about it, I just believed more and more that they were guilty. And the reason I bring up the Jinx is because at the end, Robert Durst is like, yeah, I totally did that.
He's in the restroom. He's like taking a piss. He's like, oh, shit. Oh, man, they got me. I did it.
I did that shit. And I feel like that one of these days that's going to happen with Carol Baskins. Where someone's going to look at and find enough proof, and she's going to be like, yeah, I killed my husband.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Every single person in that show was a scumbag and a criminal at some sort of level.
Dude, it goes to so many different levels, right? Like, first, you think it's a Joe Exotic documentary about how he's this crazy dude that's married to these two guys that used to be straight. And then you think it's like a documental documentary because they're talking about him and his, you know,
cult,
idol worshippers or whatever. And they're like, oh, by the way, this lady killed her fucking husband. So now it's a crime documentary, a true crime documentary.
They're going and she's doing about the same thing they're doing. But
right. Like, yeah. Like, yeah.
What?
They're not, talking about her changing the happened. Will and all that. And
then Jeff Lowe comes in, who's wearing a jeans and, you know, Hurley tight, skin tight shirt. And I'm like,
Jeff Lowe is like an Affliction shirt come to life. Like everything I think about a dude wearing an Affliction shirt, if you can put it all together, it's Jeff Lowe. And like, oh, that dude was such a fucking douchebag.
Like Joe Exotic, you thought your jeans were bedazzled? His are, and he's straight. And you're gonna trust this guy with millions of dollars? Are you kidding me?
Jeez.
It was the most outrageous. And then the whole scene, no spoilers, with the political manager and his husband, you had that whole scene going on. I'm like, oh shit. I didn't speak for like 10 minutes.
That was the one time in the documentary where I was like, yeah, man, I don't really want to watch that.
And the scene
But that's a natural outcome of a trail, you know, a fucking train wreck like that is you're gonna see some shit that you're like, real whoa.
Yeah.
That was yeah.
But you had this icon, this Joe Exotic, and then it ties it back into the peak of the internet right now with the memes. Because the memes coming out every single day with Joe Exotic are primo.
They've been fantastic, dude. The only thing that's happening with 2020 memes is that we're going through them too fast. So now we're done with Tiger King. Like, what's next?
Yeah.
What is? Because they're not feeding us any new material. We got to make up our own material now. You know, we just gotta start saying outlandish shit. Like, I don't know, just start spewing off ridiculous hot takes at people. Start telling them like, you know, cheese belongs on cereal or something, and they make memes about cheese and cereal.
I said this on another pod. I was like, this is a multi-million dollar idea. ESPN should be posting every single 30 for 30 they've ever created on their channels because their personalities, there's nothing to talk about.
So that's why true. Are you,
put all your 30 for 30s and bring out like Stump the Schwab, all those old school shows that were on ESPN Classic, and just Stump have those Schwab. Fucking running. Like, why not? I mean, if you're still paying for cable these days, I'm unplugged, so I don't pay for cable. But if you still are, might as well. I mean, what are you going to do? March Madness did the best of, you know, all the games. So that was a really cool thing. But we're in April now. What are you going to do?
I got to tell you, I don't know how other people are handling it. But me in the world of no sports right now, because your replacement options have been old sports, talk nostalgic about sports, watch, you know, the shit they put on the Ocho, like Skipping Stones and you know, shit like that. Or you just got to go to the other avenues of entertainment. And I can't go back and watch the old games because it just makes me miss wanting to watch the new games, you know. And especially if I watch a game I already know the outcome of. The beauty of sports is just that, is it is live and you never know when you're right. So when the moment comes, it's just so natural and so organic. And so another one of these jobs that you wonder how they're going to handle it for a long-term period. Sportscaster, sport, like local sports radio guy, you know?
Yeah.
Dude that writes about sports. Like, what do you do in 2 weeks, you know? Like, you've run out of material. You can't talk about... Now, I guess in 2 weeks, you're going to talk about if we're going to have an NFL season or not. But, man, it's...
Or the draft. The draft's coming up.
The draft. Yeah. What happens when they push back the draft? Well, you've already run out of all your draft content because you didn't have anything else to talk about. So what? You just, like, revisit the draft content?
We have enough people. We don't have enough people. We have half amount of people. Well, we should give each person a designated two teams because we probably have around 16 people at Apollo. Yeah. And we do a mock draft.
Okay. That'd be interesting, man. I'm not a draftologist, though. I used to be real.
That's the best way. It's almost like a Rafi situation. We have people picking punters, and we just got it going on.
Just go crazy with it, dude.
Yeah. We just go all. You got to lean into it. I mean, we can't half ass it. We got to lean into it.
You're doing it. You're going all in, dude.
But hey, I gotta take a piss. I'm gonna give you the Ribbit Roughneck 1 minute. You go off. You talk to the people. I'll be right back.
I'll just go off.
Yeah, go off.
Man, the only thing there is to go off about is how much this shit fucking sucks, dude. And it has been the elephant in the room in this podcast where even when we talk about, you know, movies or how someone got into the Roughnecks or just whatever, it always comes back to we're stuck in our homes with nothing to do because there's a goddamn global pandemic going on. And I said it, I don't know, 10 minutes ago, that the only way we get all the shit back that everyone apparently misses so bad now is to do what the fuck everyone's saying and stay the fuck inside. And it sucks, dude, but that's just where we are right now. And, you know, being fucking silly about it just makes it worse and worse. And with the arguments against it being, you know, just the flu and it's not going to, the old person, I think everyone's kind of past all that right now, right? Like, the thing that I saw today was that even if 50% of the people in the U.S. get it, 80% of them are going to recover from it. But the 20% that gets sick is such a big number, we don't have the capacity to handle that. And the way that we make sure we don't get to that number is to stay the fuck inside. And then we'll get all the cool shit back. And I just miss the cool shit, man. And it fucking sucks, but this is where we're at. And this is what we got to deal with. So, you know, as we deal with it, just remember the people around you who love you and the people around you who are going to lift you up, and try to say something nice to someone and try to forget that the fucking world's falling apart around us. And we're just going to put our heads down and make it through this, dude. With that, I bid you all farewell and good night. And I promise you that tomorrow is one day closer to getting back to some semblance of normalcy. And that's my rant, Daz.
Amen. A freaking men.
Indeed.
I feel that's a good place to wrap up. I want to get you back on. I want to get you back on soon.
Hey, man. I've got plenty of fucking free time now.
We have all the time in the world.
Indeed. Plenty. I mean, we got to figure out a way if we can live cast it.
Yeah, that'd be super sweet.
I'm gonna look into that. Let's
do that, and we can make it interactive. People tune in. I mean, the Twitch has been great. The doing the games. I mean, we have constantly. We joke and say it's, you know, 50 million people.
I've been watching those games, and when you miss it for as long as you have, and like, yeah, it's a video game and it's a simulation, but you know the names and you know the teams. So when you watch it, you're not playing the game. You don't know what's going to happen. So when you see fucking Jordan rip a fucking 450-foot dong, you get a little bit excited about it. And I mean, if you don't got anything else to watch, it's fun to watch. You get into it.
Yeah, and the community, too. My fiance's like, what do you, like, is people tuning in? I'm like, we have 70 people tuning in. That's 3 full classrooms of people tuning in watching the game, and I'm having the best time of my life. I look forward to it every day. I'm prepping. I have my notes. I have all this stuff. I'm making sure everything's lined up because I can't wait to get online with everyone because how much everyone's bought in.
Man,
even because it's a video game.
I want to hack in there one day and do the play-by-play on it. I've always wanted to do play-by-play on a game, and I feel like it'd be I don't think I'm as suited for baseball, but I can run around with Bregman now with an 0-2 count. Slider over the middle. Oh, he's got some good contact on that, folks. It is high. It is up. That is Bregman. Bregman blasted in the Crawford boxes. Two-run home run, Alex Bregman. I could totally do that.
Put it on the board right there. That's it.
Put it on the board. That was my open tryout for Apollo Media one-time Astros game play-by-play. I just did it right there. You're
hired.
We're in. Now get Blum on there with us.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Hopefully Blummer gets on. We'll get your boy Adam on there as well.
Oh, yeah. Get Adam on there. So, Dez, what do we got coming up this week? What's Apollo Media got cooking?
Yeah, so we have – it's mainly Twitch right now. Obviously, we can't write about much where me and you really do our stuff. We'll have Friday Night Pints instead of Friday Night Lights. Friday Night Pints. We'll be drinking beers. 9-10 start. It's a West Coast game. After that, it's the three amigos, me, David Silva, and Brucey play Warzone and get plastered, and we maybe make top 10 once. Okay. And Call of Duty. Going into the weekend, I haven't figured out a weekend like promo plan yet. We do have a Saturday game and the Sunday day game, I believe.
I'm gonna throw an idea out on here, and this is something I've been working on, and I think that I'm gonna be able to put it together, but I need to beta test first. But I found a website that'll let you run at-home poker tournaments through it. So I'm thinking about maybe if some people who are missing the gaming community a bit and missing tossing cards around, maybe we'll run a little free roll Apollo Media sit and go poker tournament. And if that that runs well, maybe we'll look about throwing a couple stacks down on it.
Little stacks. I'm a degenerate in my DNA. I'm all in. Beautiful. I call. Beautiful. And I give the stamp of approval. Apollo Media will sponsor that. That'd be sweet. That'd be really, 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 really sweet.
I've got homework for the weekend now.
Yeah. Let's figure that out. That'd be really fun. I'm thinking what we can do. Obviously, the podcast is going to be big. Vodcast. We'll have the video on YouTube.
Yep.
Twitch is really big right now for us. And I'm trying to... Josh is more technical than me, which is really funny because I joke and say I'm just the cam girl with the lights and just me bullshitting around. But Josh is making me learn how to be technical, so we should have a cooler Twitch channel. And he tested it when he took over and gave me the night off, and it was night and day. I was like, oh, shit.
Ground up growth. Starting from the ground, we're moving it up.
We're figuring it out. I mean,
that's right. We're about to have Twitch 2.0 up, Twitch channel.
I told everyone, and I'm trying to explain what we're doing. It was hard enough to explain what we're doing before the pandemic. And then with the pandemic, it's like explaining Latin, you know, to
someone.
So you
started a sports media company that creates sports-based content to provide to sports followers. Exactly. And there's no sports...
Right.
Yes. So what are y'all doing? Dude, we are fucking figuring it out just like everybody else.
And I tell everyone, and I don't know if it just follows me around. I don't know if we live in a simulation and this is my seventh life, but I always stumble ass backwards into success. I can't explain it. Backwards into the Colors Binder shirt. You have Carlos Correa randomly on Instagram just wearing rocking our stuff. And I'm like, what is going on? And so I'm just like, hey, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to keep throwing stuff on the wall and it's going to stick.
Something's
going to stick. Something is.
It's going to stick. What's wrong with that? And you know what, man? In a time of crisis, always an opportunity. So yeah, maybe the content that we were relying on to be there isn't there, but it gives us the opportunity to be creative and to provide something to people who right now are fucking yearning for it, you know, because there's not a lot of the stuff out there that they want. They're missing their sports too, and they're missing the movies. It says, okay, so hey, Let's jump in here. Let's just make something happen. Throw suggestions on the wall. What do you want Apollo to do?
Yeah.
We'll take fucking suggestions, you know? Throw it out there. We got plenty of free time now. What can we do to provide some sort of outlet, escape, entertainment, a laugh, a cry, whatever, to help you forget for 5 minutes that, you know, the fucking world's coming to an end. Let us help you forget the apocalypse.
Exactly. And I think what we created a team and the team members that make Apollo Media, because you're what, on your 7th Twitter account, Robert Ruffin?
Fifth.
Okay. But you're a staple of Houston sports, and you're...
I do have a lot of clout, that's true. And I'm humble about it, but I do...
Hey,
I have a strong, tight following, much like a cult. You know, there's just... it'll expand out, and then it'll get shut down. But that cult of 110 to 120 who's always going to be there, they're there.
But you're rounds on Rivet, so to backtrack it a bit... I always was, you know, on Twitter. I created Flags Fly Forever. I wanted to do what we're doing now, and I was like, I can't do it by myself. I need to create a team. We got a team together. Apollo Media came about. But your rounds on River, that is one of the greatest traditions in sports. Before we sign off, we said we're going to sign off 20 minutes ago, but can you divulge into that? Because it's a staple. I enjoy it. I thoroughly enjoy it.
It's the best segment on the internet. I don't think anyone can argue with that. It's engaging. It gets the audience involved. There's a lot of me on there, which is always great. One day back in the day when I first got into Twitter, like a lot of wrestlers and athletes and celebrities and shit, they would do their Q&As and they would like quote tweet the answers, and I'm bored on Twitter, so I'd do a Q&A and throw it out there, and 6 people would ask something, because who the fuck cares what some asshole was talking about on Twitter. And then I went to the bar one night, and I couldn't even tell you why, but I know exactly why. Someone asked me a question, and I didn't have enough characters to put it in there. So I just recorded a video, and I was like, hey, I need to say more about the question you asked me than the space provided on Twitter. So I put that out there. And then someone else asked me, and I was like, I don't really know what, I don't feel like typing anymore. So I recorded another video, and it just turned into this thing where it combined 2 things I like, which is drinking and providing my wisdom to the world, which is usually right and unquestioned, and people come to me and they say, Bobby, bless us with your knowledge and wisdom. And I say, you know what, it's the least I can do, right? If I was given all this, it's the I can't even finish this with a straight face. It's just fun, you know. It just turned into a thing that, like you were saying earlier in the pod, you get out and you go to the movies for an hour, and that's like the rounds on River thing's kind of like that with me. Like, hey, you know what, this is an hour and a half where I can just sit back, have some beers. It's almost going to like a digital bar. Like, hey, what do you think about this? Oh, well, I'll tell you what I think about this. I think this. And then the next question. It's just, it's a lot of fun, man. And it's something I'm probably going to be doing more of now, because I ain't got shit else to do.
No, it's something I love. I love tuning in to see everyone's questions, see how you think through things.
It's fun for me to go back the next day, and I like to watch the answers later in the night when I'm like starting to get a little tipsy and just kind of changing the volume of my voice to what I'm answering. I'm like, oh man, I had a couple more of those drinks in me than I thought I did.
The greatest thing is that, like, I'll see it and I'll watch it, and I'm in Tomball, which is you know up the road from you. And you'll post a video, you'll go outside, you'll rip a heater, you're drinking your White Claw, whatever it is. Yeah. I'm like, holy shit. How is he answering this? And it's still kind of light outside. It's like nighttime. Like, was this pre-recorded? And I'm like sitting there, I'm like, I missed the entire question. I missed the entire answer because I'm like trying to calculate time, and I've been drinking. So I'm like, carry the 2, add the 1. Like, fuck, he's in California.
There's some technical difficulties with it now where when I quote tweet a video, it takes fucking forever to load. And when the questions start coming, they start coming quick, you know? So I'll get 15 questions in a 5 to 10 minute span. But these videos are taking so long to load that from the time someone asks me a question to the time I answer it to the time that I load it, it's like 26 minutes. So you'll ask me a question at 6:50. I'll answer it at 6:52. But by the time I go in there and load it, it's 7:01. And
then that
just keeps growing and growing because there's more questions and more questions. So I think what I'm going to do now when I do it is I'm just going to answer directly in the comments because those load faster than the quote tweets.
Yeah. Now, it's an amazing staple.
The curtains. I'm showing y'all the production right there.
You pull the curtains back. Absolutely. Well, Mr. Ribbit Roughneck, thank you for coming on.
Des, thank it was fun. You. It was real. It was real fun. The pleasure was all mine. Anytime you want to do it again, I have a completely wide open schedule. So you just let me know.
This is what we'll do. You're my favorite interviewee.
Yes.
We'll do this. We'll open it up to the people. We'll get 5 or 6 subjects. I don't care if it's conspiracy. I don't care if it's food. I don't care if it's movies. I don't care what it is. We have all the time.
Go to a random subject generator. You know, just type in like 5 subjects on the internet and have it shuffle them around and just spit one out. Like, talk about 1800s British women's literature. Okay, give me a week. I'll figure it out. I can get a hot take.
You know what we need? You know how Jimmy Fallon has that little thing on his table that doesn't work, but he hits it and it randomizes a song? We'll do that for subjects.
Boom.
And we'll do that. We'll get it from the fans. We'll get it from everyone. Put it in there. Hit the
any scene, subject.
And we'll just talk. And we'll talk for hours because I feel like it's been an hour and 21 minutes. It's felt like 10.
Has it really?
Yeah.
Holy shit. This has been a small movie.
Yeah. It really has. It's half of
listen to every minute or get blocked.
You are notorious for that. But Mr. Ribbit Roughneck, thank you for tuning in. This is the Corona Pod.
Corona Cast.
Corona Cast.
Stay at your fucking houses.
Thank you, Mr. Roughneck, for coming into the studio virtually and spending some time this evening with me. It was a great interview, a lot of fun. We're going to get him back on the pod again soon and let us just run and run and run. I think we could do 2 hours easily and just talk about whatever comes to mind. That was a ton of fun. So thank you again, Mr. Roughneck. Everyone tuning in, thank you so much. Remember, leave a 5-star review, like, subscribe, resubscribe, unsubscribe, and then resubscribe again on our page. Big week coming up. I'm going to get Mr. Spaceman in the podcast studio virtually. We'll get to hear his story and what everything Colin does for us over at Apollo Media. I appreciate him a lot. He's become a great friend. So we'll hear his story on episode 5 of the Mission Control podcast. And we'll just keep doing this. We're going to keep grinding and we're going to be here for you guys. Right now, Apollo Media, number one Twitch channel in the country. So come on in, see a game. Enjoy a game. Watch it with us. We had a Friday Night Pints based on Coach Taylor and Friday Night Lights last Friday. Super, super awesome. We gave away 5 shirts on Saturday, giving another 3 away on Sunday. So come on in. It's a great time. You meet some new friends, meet some new family, and you get some free merch. So look out for that. Every time we tweet about it, it's every time the Astros play, we're following literally their schedule. So that is it. I'm going to wrap up. I'm going to get out of here. Everyone, stay at home, stay safe, stay crazy.